So let's turn to God's Word, and this morning we're reading from Ephesians, book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Ephesians 4, 1 to 8. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. Amen.
Thank you, Ed. If you were following that, you might have noticed that it was a slightly different version, but it was the same message. Life has a way of helping us feel isolated, as though we're on our own and perhaps the world is against us. It may not be our everyday experience, but it's certainly an experience that most of us go through fairly regularly. This particular passage reminds us that we are one body in Christ, all saved and part of God's kingdom. The passage also tells us to be humble and gentle, to love one another, to be patient with each other, to be united with each other in the Holy Spirit, and to be at peace with each other. Now, you may have noticed that there were no qualifications and there were no exemptions. This is what we have to do. These are all hallmarks of a graceful and loving community. And part of being in community is getting to know each other and supporting each other. Today, as part of being in community, some of our members are going to share part of their Christian walk with us, which will help us get to know them better, and it will provide an opportunity through that for us to be able to support them better, and they'll feel more at home and more comfortable in the community. So it's an important thing that we do, that we share our own Christian walk with each other. We've got three people who are going to talk today about their own personal experiences, but later on there will be the opportunity, if you so wish, for anyone in the congregation to also participate in this discussion. So the first person who's going to share with us today is Kay. So would you like to come and join me, Kay? Now, I'm going to ask Kay a few questions, and that will guide her in her comments. Pop that down just a little easier for her. Now, Kay's been worshipping with us as a fellowship, in our fellowship, for 2 or 3 years. My observation is that Kay has settled into the fellowship and is now involved in the ongoing ministry of the fellowship. To kick us off, Kay, could you tell us what involvement you have with the fellowship?
I have the privilege to join the worship team as one of the singers. And I must say that God has really blessed this church. I was drawn to this fellowship because of his love and friendliness when I first arrived. And it really touched me, and I just want to be a part of that and to share love in Jesus.
Thank you, Kay. It's nice to know that we are welcoming and loving. But I've noticed that Kay fits in very comfortably with that model of what was taught to us through that Ephesians passage. And Kay has naturally slipped into a welcoming process and following up newcomers. Just tell us a little about that, Kay.
Well, it's just God has led us together, and we have met with new friends, and especially I have just, God has laid a special burden in my heart, especially to reach out to people who felt new, because I have been traveling to many places and often been new in a church, and I know how difficult it is to settle in, and somehow just God just reveals this bond to me, and I just feel the burden to reach out to them. Mm. And so I've been in touch with my friend Nock, who is here today, and we've become great friends.
That's good. Well, that's your what you've done here is certainly reflecting Jesus in your life, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, when you arrived here in our fellowship, you were a mature Christian. So you don't get to be a mature Christian overnight. So tell us a little about that early stage when you first became a Christian.
Yes, I... well, the Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17 reads that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old have passed and the new have come. And this certainly was my experience when I came to know the Lord Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I became a Christian when I just turned 21. I won't tell you how old I am now. I came to know the Lord at an Easter camp in the Chinese Church of London during the final years of my nursing training. I was familiar with the Jesus story because I attended a Catholic school, and I even did scriptures and did a study of John's Gospel as one of my textbooks. But unfortunately, it was just to know the contents to answer questions for the exams and not more anything more. But God knows our needs, and He has a plan for our lives. And today I just want to stand here and testify that God's love is so wonderful and marvelous that He knows our needs, and if we're willing to let Him in, He will come in and meet our needs, and He also hears our prayers. Coming back to that, I came to know the Lord when I was invited to an Easter conference organized by this church every year. I didn't know anything about this church, but my friend was invited to attend it, and she wanted company, and she just registered for me to go as well. I didn't know that I was going, but anyway, I was glad that I did, because at the conference, I heard for the first time about the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, there were lots of messages and meetings. By the end of 2 days, I was really convinced and convicted, because the speakers was explaining about why we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, and who God is, and why God loved us so much that He gave His Son to die for us, like Paul said in the verse earlier on. After the meeting, I knew that I have to open my heart to God. But there was this hesitancy because of I come from a non-Christian home, and I knew my parents, especially my father, would be very opposed to it. But then at the on Good Friday means a lot to me, because on Good Friday morning, at the end of the session, there was a communion like what we're going to have today, and the pastor was inviting everybody who knows the Lord Jesus to participate, and for all of the others, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, to meditate on all that we have heard for the last few days, and to think about it and to open our hearts to Him. I haven't been touched by the Lord. I was drawn to it, and all I knew was I wanted to go home to be with my Father in heaven, and I don't want to be left out. And I just, the desire was so great that I committed my life to Christ on that Easter morning. And I thought, well, God will take care of the rest. If He loved me, God will make a way for me with my parents. And when I shared with the pastor, and he said, don't worry, the Lord has promised that if you believe, you and your whole household will also come to know to Him. So I stood on this promise that the Lord has given me, that I will believe and pray for my parents and my family, and they will come to know Him too. That's such a long story, I bet. But before I became a Christian, I was, you won't find me standing here in front of you. I was extremely, extremely shy. You won't believe it. Very timid and very fearful. But God did a miracle in my life when I opened up my heart to Him, and He turned it completely around. And it was an experience, a spiritual experience that I can't, until you open your heart to the Lord, you won't know what that means. When I, after the conference, I went back to the hospital, of course, and that's where I worked and lived. And unknown to me, people know the difference. And I, what happened to you? You are different. And I was just bursting with peace and joy. I just couldn't stop sharing about my experience and what God means to me and how much God loves me. And they were amazed, because who is this girl? Isn't she the one that's always sitting in the corner, being quiet, and we don't hear a word from her? and just that, from that, God love led me to start the fellowship, a Christian fellowship in the hospital, but I found a couple of other Christians, and we met together weekly to study the Word and also to pray for one another and also for the rest of the non-Christian brothers and non-Christian nurses who were we were working with.
Okay, that it's just a remarkable example of the way God works in people's lives, and the way that you came back bursting with the love of Christ. Just delightful, absolutely delightful. Look, there's a whole life's experience between then and when you got here. Perhaps for another day we can go through that.
Yeah.
But just one last point I'd invite you to talk about, and that is what you've been to many parts of the world since then.
Yes.
But somehow you found your way to Sydney and you found your way to our fellowship. What brought you to this fellowship?
Yes, well, it first started with my parents. There was a racial riot in Malaysia in 1969, and our family was scattered to the four corners of the world. I come from a very big family. I have four brothers and four sisters, and all the girls were in the northern hemisphere, and all the boys were in the southern hemisphere. At some stage, my father was very ill, and so he had to come to Australia. And it was my mother, you know, when I said God answers prayer, about when we believe of God, our family will also be saved. My parents became a Christian. My mother, it was my mother's faithful prayer, and says, God, we have been scattered all over the world for 25 years, and none of us, it was the first time we all had a reunion was after 25 years when we were all together. And my mother prayed that that God will bring all His children to Australia, and God answered her prayer, and one by one we all of us came to live in Australia, in Adelaide mainly, because my brothers were in Adelaide. And I came to Sydney just to do grandparent duties. Initially, it was every other month because my son had twins, and it was their first cha. So then it became, I don't know, maybe permanent now. And initially, I was very attached to my home church in Adelaide, of course. And I just did online church until one day I felt extremely lonely having Holy Communion all by myself standing in front of a screen. And I felt God saying to me, you got to find a local spiritual family and be committed and serve in the family. And so here I am.
Well done. And here's me thinking you came here to be with Katie.
Well, Katie was here, so it was easier to come.
Maybe it is. We're so pleased you came. Let me pray with you.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, what a joy it is to hear the story of Kay's conversion and her service and ministry since those many, many years ago. We just lift her up in love and pray for your continued blessing upon her. We give you thanks, Father, that she's in fellowship with us here. And we just pray, Father, that her contribution here will enliven, uplift, broaden the ministry of this fellowship. But in love, Father, we just turn to you in grateful thanks that she's here and ask for your blessing upon her. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Kay. The second person who's going to share with us today is Joel. So I invite Joel to come out and join me. Thank you, Joel. I'll give you the mic.
Yep. So, good morning, church. And it's been a pleasure because, firstly, I'll thank the Lord Almighty for giving me this opportunity to be part of this church. So, it's been just 2 months, so this is the first June. I came 1st of April in Australia. It's just 2 months in Australia. And there's a reason I came here. And I'll tell you that later. But so I have a couple of things to share in my life. Firstly, with my family and then my personal life. So I have my parents back home in India. So I'm from the southern state of India, which is called Kerala. And both my parents, they were born into an Orthodox Christian family. And they used to go to church. They have been part of the church, like a ritual, like everybody does. But they didn't, you know, listen to the word of God, or they didn't know who God is in reality. So my dad was working in the Indian Air Force, and he was posted in different parts of India, North India. And it was in 1991, which is like 34 years, if I'm not wrong, ago. He came to know the Lord through a fellow believer in North India. And that's the first time that he realized that there is a living God who can do exceedingly wonderful things for each one of us. And both my parents, my dad and my mom, they believed this God, the gospel, and they became God's children. And from that day, from 1991, August, they have been in fellowship back home. In different parts of India. My dad was still working till 1999. And then he retired and he had this great calling, this heavenly calling from Jesus Christ that he has to go and preach the gospel to people around his community, especially because in my state in Kerala, people are not interested to listen to the gospel. And the reason is because they think, you know, why you want to listen to the gospel? There are so many other things to read. Why you want to read the Bible? So that was his desire, that he got this opportunity after 37 years. His spiritual eyes were blinded for 37 years. So he had that, I'll say, zeal to preach the gospel to people in his community, in his family, his friends, whoever he finds. And from 1999 till date, God has been faithful to his ministry. So yesterday when I was speaking to him, so he's saying like, you know, my body is tired. He's 70. So he said, you know, my body's been weak. My outer person is getting weak, but my inner man is being strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. So I still want to go. And that one statement made me think like how Jesus Christ can transform any person's life. So that's one thing. Today morning when I stand before this congregation, I thank the Lord for giving this opportunity for me and my family to know this God. Now that's about my family. Now if I tell about myself, when I was born itself, I was going to the church with my parents. So I used to go, I used to read the Bible, I used to, you know, sing songs in the church. But on a personal note, I came to know the Lord in 2011. So that was when I was in my 12th grade. I just gave my 12th grade examination. I was waiting for my results. So one day when I was reading the Bible, and I was reading from John's Gospel, and I had this conviction that, you know, I need to accept him as my personal savior. So I used to go there, you know, to the church. And I told my dad, you know, I want to accept the Lord as my savior and be a God's child. So my dad said, why didn't you have this conviction earlier? I said, there's a time for everything. And this, I think this is the right time for me to do that. So that was 14 years back, the story that I'm saying. So in April 2011, I accepted the Lord as my personal savior, and I declared that in front of my church that I go. But then, as the Lord's word says, to those who believe in him, they have to be baptized in his name as a full immersion baptism. So that took me around 8 to 9 months, I'll say. February 2012, I got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been part of the church over there in different ministry activities, songs, and kids' church, and everything. And that's about my spiritual life. Now, the reason I mentioned coming to Australia, especially to Sydney, has been a significant step, is from 2014 to 2024, which is like 10 years, the world will say that Joel has failed, Joel has been a terrible failure. And reason is, because I graduated in 2014. I completed my BCom, and I got into a very good company, I'll say. I got into KPMG. So then I resigned from there just for one reason. I wanted to pursue and get a career into government jobs, which is like a very prestigious thing in India. Maybe not everyone knows that. So that was my desire. So I started giving examinations after examinations. Like it's a competitive examination, and it has multiple choice, all kinds of questions. So, you know, the result was like I failed 63 consecutive examinations on the trot. And it was not very easy thing for anyone to accept it. Even one failure, you will be down. So, and that also includes something called, in India, we have an exam called Union Public Service Commission, which is for the civil services, which is considered as the third toughest exam in the world. And including the 63, includes three exams which I failed for the civil services. Now, this failure actually taught me one thing, that, you know, when we go before, when we have this desire to do something, it is not our will, it's actually God's will. So God made me humble before him. God made me think that not my way, your ways. And these 10 years, he transformed my life like anything. So I wanted to go and pursue a government job. He actually turned that plan into a chartered accountancy. So I could pursue that, and I could pass that. I could pass my CA. And the interesting thing was, after passing my CA also, I didn't have a job for 10 months. Now what happened is, God was using me for a purpose, because he gave me a job in a Sydney-based company. I was working remotely, work from home, from India. This was back in 2023. What happened is, like, the employer who was in Sydney, God steered his mind, or I'll say he spoke to that employer that you have to get this guy here, sponsor him, sponsor his visa and bring me here. Now when I think about that, we read in the word of God in Ezra chapter 1 verse 1 about how King Cyrus' heart was stirred by God to build the temple of God. So I won't say like it's a similar thing, but in my life when I see, no chance I could have come to Sydney or anywhere in Australia except through a sponsorship, because that is the hardest thing to do, because nobody wants to do it. It's you have to pay a lot of money, resource, time, energy and everything. And this was done for me, because not because I did something great, something good, because God had an ultimate plan that I have to be here, not just to work, but to preach His good news in whatever ways I can, and to for the glory of His kingdom. So that's my short story. So I, as I close this short testimony, I will want your prayers on a couple of things. One, for my parents, especially for my dad. He's getting old. He's still doing the Lord's ministry. So please keep him in prayer. And for me, when I go to work. And also, if God willing, my parents are looking for a life partner. So hopefully, by the end of this year, that can also happen. So yeah, thank you so much. And I'll thank the pastors and leadership team for giving me this opportunity. May His name be glorified.
Thank you, Joel, for sharing some of your life story. It's an inspiration to understand that God is working in faraway countries and working in individual lives, and not just the big picture, but as the scriptures say, the Lord knows the hairs on our head. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for Joel. We give you thanks for bringing Joel to this fellowship. We give you thanks for the way in which you have worked in his life and in his family's, in the members of his family's lives over these last 40 or 50 years. And we just praise you and thank you for that. We do commit Joel to you, Father. We pray that he'll continue to be strong in his faith, that he'll be aware of your walk with him, and that your paths for him in the future will become clear to Joel as he moves forward. But while he is here with us, Father, we pray that you will bless him while he's with us, and that indeed you'll bless us having him with us indeed. And so we commit him to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it. All right. Number three, the last one who has been organised, but everyone will have the opportunity. Dylan, would you come and talk with us a little about why, what happened with you and forced him to wander away? Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, we've been away for about, 4 weeks? Some of you know that we just returned last Sunday. We went to take Faustine's mum back to Sri Lanka. So we were there for about 20 days in Sri Lanka and then 4 days on our way back in Singapore. So we spent some time with our family and friends. Someone sent a text message just last week, and he said, asking if I'm still having a refreshing time under a banana tree. I'm thinking, under a banana tree, that's not a refreshing time, because there could be snakes under banana trees. our time in Sri Lanka wasn't a holiday. It wasn't entirely a refreshing time. We struggled with the weather in Sri Lanka. We are from a hot country, but it was too hot and humid for us over there. Faustine was pretty much unwell from the time she landed in Sri Lanka. She picked up something from Sydney. And some of you know that my father had a fall 2 weeks before we went to Sri Lanka, and he had to have a surgery to put a few pins on his thigh, and his walking was quite restricted and limited. So we knew from the time we heard that news that our trip was going to be more kind of a carer's leave. So we spent time, I won't go into details, but we spent time caring for Dad, taking him to hospitals and giving a break to my two sisters who's been caring for my dad, and also trying to work out a long-term care arrangement for my dad. So it wasn't easy. Now, I emailed Paul as well, just to keep us in your prayer, and thank you for praying for us. It was a stressful time, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, draining time for us, and the last 4 days in Singapore, we slept. And you might ask, why do you go to Singapore to sleep? Well, yes, we did, to sleep, because we needed to catch up on a bit of rest. But just want to share a few things upon reflection. What did God teach us while we were there? Because we felt this was a trip that God was shaping us and teaching us. Very first thing, patience. To be patient with ourselves. And I found myself how impatient I was until I was there. And God brought us opportunities to be patient with others, with my sisters, especially with my dad. Sometimes it took 3 hours, 4 hours for him to get ready in the morning. So I had to just wait and learn to wait. And also when we took him to hospitals, waiting for doctors and nurses. So that's one thing. And the other thing that we learned was to be generous. Generous with our time, our attitudes, our words, our thinking, and with our finances. God also taught us, prompted us to see how well do we trust in Him. Because there were situations where we didn't know what to do, where to go from here, things to arrange, and we had to just patiently wait and trust and pray. And when we left Sri Lanka, there were a few things that we still couldn't organize. Things like my long-term care for my dad. So we had to leave it in God's hand, trusting, okay, God, you know how things are going to work. You know better than us. So it was teaching us to be humble, to know that we don't have all the answers. Just rest in God's hands. Another thing upon reflection is we were prompted to be aware of temptations. Because when we are going through a tough, demanding, stressful situation, we were aware that these were opportunities for the devil to bring temptations, to be angry, to be frustrated, to procrastinate, to lash out on people, to be impatient. So one of the things that we tried to do every day was to spend time in our personal and our together family devotions. So allowing God to convict us, allowing God to show us where we've done something wrong, and asking God to forgive us. Finally, appreciation. Appreciate the work that people are doing, especially my sisters, my two sisters, and Faustine's brother and his family, how they're caring for our parents. I have deep appreciation, renewed appreciation for those who are caring for elderly and those who are those who have different less abilities. So we've come out with those lessons, and there are so many others. I'm not going into details, but we realize that God is at work in every season of our life. He's shaping us, making us more and more like Jesus. And this trip, we feel it was another step of discipleship, becoming a better disciple of Jesus. And what I want to encourage you also is, whatever situation that you find yourself, work, or maybe you're on a trip, on a fun trip, keep an eye out, and keep your ears open to see, what is God teaching you? How is God shaping me to become a better disciple of Jesus? That's just what I want to leave with you. Thanks, mate.
Okay.
Thanks, mate.
A couple of comments. One is patience, generosity, and trust. Mm. Point behind that is that despite the fact that Delana is our pastor and all of his maturity as a Christian and all his training and all his role as a pastor, he's still learning. God is still shaping Delan and Faustine to be the people that God wants or Jesus wants them to be. So that's a big takeaway, that we just don't stop learning. We don't stop growing into God's image. And the other one was the challenges that we have in the day-to-day issues that we have to face in being the ideal Christian, that the reading from Ephesians that Ed read to us earlier, how difficult it is in the day-to-day round of issues and challenges and matters that we have to deal with, how difficult it is and how to be that ideal Christian, and how important it is to have daily time with God. Make sure that we don't lose touch with God, particularly in those times when we're under pressure. So thank you for sharing, Delan. Let me pray for you. Father, we just give you praise and thanks that Delan and Faustine are back safely. We commit to you the issues that they've had to deal with. We recognise that it's been a working holiday where they've been dealing with important issues, important family issues, looking after members of their family, looking after members of your family, Father. And we just give you praise that Delan and Faustine have been able to do that. But we ask, Father, that through that whole process, that you'll continue to be close to them, continue to hold them in your arms, continue to draw them to you, that they might be stronger, that they might be able to better use these experiences in their future ministry. But we do give you thanks, Father, that they're here, that they're strong in their faith, and they're back in the arms of this wonderful community here at Burwood. So we give you praise and thanks for Delan and Faustine. Amen. Thanks, mate.
But before we go, allow me to pray. Yes, Lord, as we leave this place, may we be ever reminded that you have left your Spirit in us and amongst us to do your work of transforming us. So help us to see and reflect on our own lives during the week, how you are at work and what you are teaching us. As we do, may your love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and forever. Amen. God bless you all.